Exhorting One Another, Part 2. So you came back for more, I see. All right. So turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 5, please. 1 Thessalonians 5. Beginning in verse 14. Let me read this again as I did this morning. Excuse me. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, and comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. Verse 15. See that no one just renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue just what is good, both for yourselves and for all. And just rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. And just for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. And do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for these commands given by Paul to each and every one of us. And Lord, as we looked at with three this morning, and we will continue you here this evening, Lord, lead and direct us. And as I pray this morning, Lord, help us, Lord, to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we exhort you, brethren. What does the word exhort mean? Do you remember? I know I'm putting you on the spot. Challenge, okay? To call near, invite, console, comfort, call for, speak to. All right? Exhort. And it also means what to implore, to beg, or to request earnestly. And this is addressed to the whole church. To all believers, this is addressed to. This should not be done by what ministers only. In a lot of churches, it's up to the pastor. It's up to the minister, not me. I don't want any part of it. But in 1 Thessalonians 5, it's addressed to you, brethren. Like I said, F.B. Meyer says, each soul has a ministry to others. Each soul has a ministry to others. We have spiritual gifts God has given us. We should use it to minister to others. We're commanded to use it. We are being exhorted by Paul to do something. What is that something? 12 things. And I'm going to do this slower just for those who just want to write it down. Because a couple people came up to me this morning and said, you talk too fast. So I'm going to slow it down, okay? And I do at times. I agree. All right. Number one, warn those who are unruly. Warn those who are unruly. All right. And with two, comfort the faint hearted. Comfort the faint hearted. Three, uphold the weak. Uphold the weak. Four, be patient with all. This will be our first one today. And I've got a problem with this one. Because I'm not a patient person at times. I am not a patient person, all right? So this one I got a problem with. But I got to work on this. Be patient with all. All right? Number five. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone. This one I don't have a problem with. If I see somebody treating somebody wrong, I usually jump on them. Okay, I will let them know it's wrong. Six, always pursue just what is good, both for yourselves and for all, even your enemies. Seven, rejoice always. Rejoice always. Number eight, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Number nine, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Give thanks. And then number 10, do not quench the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. Number 11, test all things. Then hold fast what is good. test all things. Number 12, abstain from every form of evil. Abstain from every form of evil. That's the 12. So we looked at with three this morning. First one was, warn those who are unruly. And that word warn means to put in what to the mind, to caution or to reprove gently. And I mentioned Laura May, who reproved me gently. And warn those who are unruly. I just saw a video online of a boy on an airplane. For 8 hours, he was climbing over seats, yelling, screaming. Talk about unruly. He needed to be warned and put back in the ranks. And what really means disorderly. Those who are out of rank or deviating from the prescribed order or rule. And we looked at how Colossians 1 verse 28, him we preach, warning every man and with teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in what Christ Jesus. That's the goal right there. And secondly, comfort the faint-hearted, we looked at. Where comfort means to encourage, console, to calm, to address one by admonition and in what incentive. And then we are to comfort the faint-hearted. Just a faint heart? Yeah. The faint-hearted, are those who are just little-spirited or feeble-minded. And we looked at what Hebrews 12:12. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. And then thirdly, we looked at uphold the weak. Uphold the weak. And that means to hold oneself opposite to, adhere to. Just to support, to hold to him firmly. And we are to uphold the weak. And at times we're all weak. And the weak are those who are strengthless, literally, figuratively, or just morally. Feeble, infirm, sick, weak. Yeah, how should we support them? With the moral influence, with sympathy, prayer, counsel, and example. And then just we ended with this. C.H. Spurgeon says, poor hearts are often in deep despondency and is sinking just for lack of a sympathetic word. Do not withhold it. Rescue the perishing. Be on watch for despairing minds. And our first one this evening, we begin just with the fourth exhortation. Be patient with all. Boy, is that a tough one. Yeah, I was driving here on Friday. You had to pick up a hymnal. I'm in a line of traffic. A guy comes up right next to the post office and he just, right in front of me. And as Mike knows, that happens to me all the time, right, Mike? Always getting cut off. All the time. It's like I'm invisible. They never see me. Just right in line. Just enough room where he could squeeze, and he did. It's like, patience. Patience. Yeah, patient with all. When that word patient means to be long-spirited, long-suffering, to not lose heart, to be mild and slow in avenging. I did want to get even, but I didn't. Okay, I backed off, and then he turned into the gas station right out here. All right? Of course, right? Of course, okay? But patience, being patient. And who are just we to be patient with? With all. With that word all means all, any, or what, every. Everyone, every person, every thing. Be patient. Even when the computer messes up, be patient. Or the Xbox freezes as you're playing. Yeah, I'm talking to my boys there. Or the internet goes down like it did this morning. Be patient. Now, who should we be show patience to? I've got a list. Make your own list, okay? I have a list here. It's by just one of the commentators, okay? The dull and foolish. Yeah, I'm going to say the stupid people, right? Those who act stupid anyway. And show patience. The conceited. Now, I've got a definition for that because I did do this. So let me look up the word conceited here. It means too proud, having or just showing an excessively high opinion of their own qualities or abilities. It sounds like someone who is proud, right? The selfish and what, cunning. Boy, there's a lot of selfish people out there, aren't there? A lot of selfish people. Me first. Me first. And then the rude. I have met some rude people in my time. And I usually meet them at the shopping mall or at, you know, Walmart. They just shout through. They don't say, excuse me. In fact, some of them actually bang your cart to get through, and they don't care. The rude, the disorderly, and just the feeble-minded, the weak, our children. Yeah, sometimes I got to be patient with these guys, especially just when I tell them, well, especially Cody now, because Tim's older now, but do your chores. And 10 minutes later, do your chores. And then 10 minutes after that, do your chores. Be patient, right? Or our spouse and everyone else. God doesn't leave anyone out in this. He leaves no one out. The New Believer's Bible Commentary says, show the grace of long-suffering when others tend to irritate and provoke. You get irritated by people? You bet, right? We all do. There's always somebody who's getting under the skin somewhere, right? There's always that person where you work and sometimes even at home. And I'm not going to go there. But we have those people. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, please. Ephesians 4:2. It's just around the corner here from 1 Thessalonians. And I'll begin in verse 1. Therefore, I would therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and with gentleness, with long suffering, and there's patience, bearing just with one another in love. We are to be long suffering with each other. And, you know, sometimes we do irritate each other. We rub people the wrong way sometimes, and we irritate them. And sometimes they're doing it to us. But we need to be long-suffering. Long-suffering. Patient with them. And then Colossians. Please turn there with me. Another book, two books back again. Colossians 3:12. Says this, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long suffering. There it is again. Bearing with one another and what, forgiving one another. If what anyone has a complaint just against one another. Just against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. We are to be long-suffering just with each other. Patient, kind, and this takes it even, it's a lot more things we should be just with each other. And then for, in 1 Timothy 6, I have it here. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. And then for, and then 2 Timothy 4, 2 says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort. How? With all long suffering, with patience and teaching. Think about a pastor. Think about Pastor Tom. Think about all the people he has counseled over his lifetime. Many, right? Many. And I bet he has told people over and over what to do, and they've not done it. And with all long suffering. Always telling them how to live, what to do, how to overcome that particular sin. But they won't do it. But he does it with all long suffering. And with the application, I've got some pictures up there, so I don't know how well you can see them. In the back, you can turn around and look in the back, so if you want to do that. And so let me ask you, how are you at being patient? Yeah, how are you at being patient? Oh, yeah, Milt's smirking over there. You same with me, right, Milt? Yeah. Oh, yeah, we're the same mold, right? Oh, yeah. 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 How are you at being patient? You know, I bet that we all have to work on this. All of us. All of us. We all struggle with being patient. And so Jameson, Fawcett, and Emma Brown say this. There is no believer who needs not the exercise of patience toward him. We all need somebody else to show us patience. Because we rub people the wrong way sometimes. We need to be shown patience. There is none to whom a believer ought not to show patience. We need to be shown patience. And just we would need to show others patience. We're all in what need of it. All of us. Sometimes I would get on Tim about things. I'm going to use him. He's here. All right. And, you know, sometimes I would need to be shown patience. He is a busy guy. Just he works hard. He works long hours. And he's with people all day that rub him the wrong way. And he smirks at that because he knows that's true. He deals with college students who want things a specific way. Well, it's now Ben does that now because you moved up. I don't want that. It's not how I like it. Yeah, and then Ben says, yeah, I'm not your mother. Okay, sometimes that's how you would treat other people, right? And so you need to be shown what patience, and just you need to be showing others patience, all right? And see, that's how I am at home. If I've cooked dinner, that's dinner. You're going to eat it. That's it. No? I am not a restaurant. I am not going to make this for you and this for you and this for somebody else. Yeah, this is dinner. Eat it. Okay? But patience toward one another. Now we move to 1 Thessalonians 5:15. And so we have finally gotten out of verse 14. It took all morning and what parted tonight to get through that verse. All right, now we go to 5:15, and it says this. Let me read that to you. Whoops, I keep missing it here. There we go. All right. See that No one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue just what is good, both for yourselves and for all. And so point number five, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone. And the word see just means to stare at and to discern clearly. Examine just what's being done. Examine it. See it clearly. Discern clearly. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone. And that word render means to give away, to repay, or what to render, just what is due. And there you see a picture. You got one guy slap and the other guy on the head. And then a few minutes later, it's the opposite. You got the guy that was slapped on the head slapping the other guy on the head who slapped him on the head first. Rendering. Paying it back. Repaying him. Just for what he did to me. If he cut me off, I'm going to cut him off. And I know some people who drive like that. I know some people like that. See that? No one renders evil for evil to anyone. What does the word evil mean? Well, the word evil means worthless, depraved, injurious, ill, wicked, wrong, destructive. And when you think about evil, there it is. If they do it to us, I'm going to do it back to him. And that's how the world thinks. Matthew 5, verse 39 says, "But I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also." Man, is that tough. Man, is that tough. If he's going to hit me on the cheek, I'm supposed to let him hit me on the other cheek? Yes. That's what this says. Turn to him the other cheek. You're showing self-control at that point. A lot of self-control. That you're letting him do that. And then Romans 12, verse 19 says, "Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' and just says the Lord." This verse often comes to mind. Often. Often. And then Albert Barnes says, "The moment we feel ourselves acting from a desire to just return evil for evil, that moment we are acting wrong. That moment we are acting just like them. We are acting evil. They've acted it, now we're acting it too." New Believers Bible Commentary says, "Our natural reaction is to strike back and just to return tit for tat." And that's what many do. I know some parents who say, if somebody hit you, hit them back. Don't let them get away with it. See, I've got neighbors like that, and you know, all they do is fight. Got little girls out front. One is probably 10, and the other is probably 4, 5, and maybe 6 or 7. And they go at it. Little girls. "Oh, yeah. You hit me, I'm going to hit you back." Tit for tat. Back and forth they go. All the time. And then the parents get involved. I see one of the parents come up. "Hey, did your daughter hit mine?" Then that's when it gets quiet. All the girls disappear at that point. Thankfully, the parents don't start knocking each other around. That's the world. Natural reaction, evil for evil, just rendering evil for evil. We as believers, we're exhorted to be different. Not to repay evil for evil. If we can't render evil for evil, what should we do? Always pursue what is good. Always pursue just what is good, both just for yourselves and for all. And that's the rest of the verse there. 1 Thessalonians 5:15. You see that? No one just renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue just what is good, both for yourselves and for all. And I love that word, but, B-U-T. That's a contrast word. It is contrasting this with this. This is evil. Yeah, and this is good. But always pursue just what is good. And what, notice, both what for yourselves and for all. See, this isn't a selfish good. Yeah, I don't care about him. I just care about me. But it's a good that would benefit all. And that pursue means just to seek after eagerly. Think about the police, and there's a bank robber. And those police, they're going to try to find that person. And it isn't always guys now. It's also women that rob banks too now. But they seek after them eagerly. And they want to find them. And they use all their resources to find them. And what should we seek after eagerly? But always pursue just what is good. Both for yourselves and for all. And that word good means what is beneficial. What is good for both of you. What benefits just yourself and what others. And like I said, this isn't a selfish good. It just benefits me. It benefits all. What is good? What is good? And then John Gill says, is follow that which is good, honest, morally, pleasantly, and profitably good. And the biblical illustrator says, the what noblest retaliation is that of good for evil. That's noble. That's noble. That person's done me wrong, but I'm going to do good to him instead. I'm going to do good. I am not going to be like him. And I am always tempted here. We've got neighbors who love to take up two spots. We have a parking problem where I live. Sometimes my sons have to park over on just Wood Avenue and then walk back home. We've got a house down on the street. They've got three cars. They'll see two spots and they'll park right in the middle. Right in the middle. All three of them. All three of them. And mother, two grown daughters. And they do it all the time. And just when I come down the street and I see two spots, I'm thinking, man, I know they're going to be home soon. I should park right in the middle and teach them a lesson. But that wouldn't be right, would it? I would be just like them. I would be just rendering evil for evil. It's not what we do. It's not what we do. We live differently. We would repay good for evil every time. Romans 12:17 says, and just repay just no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Good things. Good things. Romans 12:21 says, therefore, if your enemy is what hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, just you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. We can overcome evil with good. With what is beneficial for them and us. Matthew 5, what 44 says, "But I say to you," this is Jesus speaking, "love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray just for those who spitefully use you and will persecute you." And notice, we are to do good. Do good. Even though they're our enemy, they hate you, they curse you, still do good to them. In the application, who are you repaying evil for evil? Because we do get even with people, don't we? I'm going to tell you to stop. Stop. Repay them with good. Repay them with good. A couple years ago, and just one of my neighbors, this was a different neighbor than the person down the street. They had two cars. They would park them one after the other. And then if they moved one, they would move one up to save the spot, which is against the law, okay, in what Easton, it's against the law. Just, you're not supposed to save spots, but they always did. And just one what particular day, I saw him do it. Then I was on the porch doing something. I could have been shoveling snow. I'm not exactly sure what I was doing. But this elderly lady kept driving around the block looking for a parking spot. That irritates me. That gets under my skin. And so I called the cops. Well, they talked to the wife about it. Then the cop came over to my door. I dealt with it. Goodbye. Well, she saw just where the cop went. And so now they're mad at me. I called the cops because she was going to the banana tree right on the corner. They sell plants. And that's where she was going. But she couldn't find a spot. Drove around the block three times. She's an elderly woman, okay? I would saw her get out of the car later. She got a spot down further. Well, it took quite a few years for this relationship to get better. One day, it had snowed. He had an old Camaro. And it got stuck on the snow. He would drove it on some snow, and it just packed up, and it lifted the car off the ground. There it is, stuck. And so I said, "Tim, let's go. Let's go shovel him out." We grabbed our shovels, went across the street, and we helped him. We just repaid him with good. Now we're friends. Now we talk about all kinds of things. We wave to each other, and we talk, and we share. What if I would have repaid evil for evil? If I just would have left that go? Now I'm looking for chances to witness to them. They're carnal. Very wicked. They're into the world. But I'm looking for a chance to witness to them. Repaying them with good. I am hoping that it opens doors for their salvation. And then 1 Peter 3, 8 and 9, which says, "Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. And will love his brothers. Be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or just reviling for reviling. But on the contrary, blessing. Bless someone. Do good to them, even your enemy. And then notice what happens. Knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. You bless others, you get blessed too. It happens all the time. Blessing other people, doing good to them, even though they've done evil to you. They've treated you wrong. They've called you names. They've done all kinds of stuff. Don't repay evil for evil. Do them good instead. Think about people like that. That just you can show good to. They have mistreated you, but do them good. And I think I'm going to stop there because I got 4 minutes until 7. So we'll pick this up next time. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. And Lord, as Paul exhorted the church here in just Thessalonica, Lord, just to do these things, may we be exhorted to do them as well. Lord, help us to put them into practice, Lord. May we do good to others, even to those who have done evil to us. And Lord, may we see just what you're going to do. Lord, you work in mysterious ways. And you work in just mighty ways. May you do so through us. Thank you for your word again. In Jesus' name, amen.